This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Ladies get started in Greensboro today for the tournament.
Yeah, boy.
Men next week. We got men's basketball tonight as well. There's a lot going on.
21st century college administrators have a lot going on. A lot going on. And Duke Athletics Director Nina King is no different. Last night in Pittsburgh with the men's team, she's kind enough to join us this morning at 9 o'clock. And her basketball team with Kara Lawson at the wheel plays at 3:30 this afternoon in Greensboro against Pittsburgh in the opening round of the Women's Basketball Championship. So, Nina, thank you for carving out a few minutes. Good morning, and welcome back to the program.
Great to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's get right to it. I know we got basketball today. You had a big game last night. Kay's taking care of business.
We've got a steel fist.
I like the
I did like the steel fist, by the way. I thought that was cool.
That was a good one.
Yeah. I like that one. All right, I want to get fast forward, though, to the weekend because we're going to be there. And I'm not going to hit you up for a ticket. I know you get a few of those this week. This is probably a pretty big game coming up Saturday night, I think. So I'm not going to bother you with that. Nina, I know for a fact that your lesser half, Rick, is a big fan of the show. Can we confirm that?
We can confirm that. I think he's recording today, though, because he had to take the puppy to puppy school today. So,
all right. Man's best friend.
Yeah. That'd be a good idea. Yeah. We got two dogs that we ought to take to puppy school.
No, my dogs are good. Okay. My dogs are well trained. Right. Now, here's what I need to do, though. Nina, I'm not going to ask you for tickets because we're good. But I do need a parking spot. So here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm thinking. I pull in with a Ford F-150. I park at your house and maybe either get a ride with you or maybe Rick can drop me off. Is that possible? Can we work that out?
Yep. You can do that. We live 3 miles from campus, so you can ride in with Rick and the boys on Saturday. It'll be perfect.
But wait, hold on.
Say a word.
Hold on.
I like the sound of this deal already.
Wait, Nina, I don't know if you know this, but in 2022, Packer is on a wellness plan.
Yep.
It's very inspiring. A lot of people have picked up on it. So he walks exactly 3 miles
three
a day.
Miles.
I can do that.
I can't think of a better thing for you to be than other in a coat and tie and having to walk 3 miles from Nina's house to campus. I think that'd be terrific.
I would do that. The problem is I don't walk 6 miles. If you walk three, you got to walk three back. It was only if Nina lived in a mile and a half from Cameron, I'd walk. But three's my limit. That's the line.
Right.
So the fact
maybe
that your husband's a big fan, I'm thinking, I'll even let him drive the Ford F-150. He can drive around all day and do whatever he needs to do with that thing. But I just need to find a place to park that bad boy because this is going to be a zoo. On a serious note.
It is.
Saturday is going to be one of the craziest days in the history of the university, isn't it? In terms of the everything that's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so much going on, and we're so excited. We all kind of felt like we had to get through last night. Didn't want to overlook still another regular season game last night. And so this morning, I know I woke up with just kind of a different sense of excitement. It's Wednesday. Saturday will be here before we know it. So many people coming to town for this game. And so we've got some great events and gatherings planned appropriately. Celebrate coach post-game. It's going to be a zoo around here, but really excited and excited to see you guys here in person on campus on Saturday.
Nina, I want to go to, I remember a year ago in the heat of the COVID and we were doing split shows and Bob Weissman joined us and we were talking about just facilities and operations and how Duke was going to go about conducting some of that. Give us a ballpark here. When Mike Krzyzewski announces his retirement essentially last summer, do you then automatically think, okay, this Carolina game is out there in March, but I know in the athletic world, I've sat in enough meetings on campuses to know that March is like a finger snap away. So from almost that point forward, has Saturday kind of been in front of you a little bit as a department?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we can't start planning today for this Saturday, just kind of the historic nature of this game and what it means for our campus. I did see some of our game operations folks that work with Bob Weissman, you know, kind of shining the bronze in Cameron and putting the finishing touches on getting the building ready for Saturday. But this has been a months-long process. The operations, the logistics, you know, we've got, again, so many folks coming to campus, including people that need extra security and making sure we know where folks are moving around through the building. And so it is really a Herculean effort for mainly Bob and his staff. And to do it, you know, quietly behind the scenes. We don't want folks seeing all of our game ops people running around frenzied. We want to pull this off absolutely seamlessly. And I know we will, because Bob is the very best in the business.
Well, we look forward to being there. I think the country is looking forward to just seeing the pomp and circumstance. And, oh, by the way, it's Duke Carolina right on top of it. It's almost like the game's almost been kind of lost in some respects, which is unheard of given the fact it's the greatest sports rivalry in college basketball. Speaking of hoops, you've got a big one also today. Carol Lawson and the Duke Club. Again, I know you haven't finished as strong as you'd want to, but still so much to play for. This is a really big deal today in Greensboro.
Absolutely. And I was just actually, before I came in this morning, texting with Kara. And Kara, the squad, the staff, everybody's ready. Great day for a big win in Greensboro. But, you know, what Kara's done building this program has just been absolutely incredible. And as you said, I mean, we've kind of had a few tough games here these last couple of weeks. And this program has really battled through adversity. We had COVID. We had injuries. It's been a tough year. And so really excited to now enter into this new season, the postseason, and see what the ladies can pull off on the court.
In a sense, and for her to get the job and the timing of that, and then you add the, good heavens, what happened last year, not being able to kind of even conduct the season. I mean, she was dealt some really low cards here, Nina. What are the pillars that you've seen from your chair that you feel really good about, even after a year and change of Carol Lawson being your basketball coach, I guess, in terms of games played?
Sure. I mean, well, she's Kara. She, you know, her basketball IQ is just absolutely off the charts, and she's just such an exceptionally brilliant coach. She's put together a brand new team. We have, you know, 8, 9 transfers, freshmen. This team is a whole new look, and they played 4 games together last year. Well, last year's team 4 games, and then this year with our completely new team, new look, and what Kara and her staff have done has just been absolutely incredible. So we see it. You know, she is building a program, and she is doing an amazing job. I'm really looking forward to Greensboro to kind of see how this team responds at a time where it's really important to play well.
Nina, I know when you were announced to take the position, you joined us on the show. And I just think back to what's taken place at Duke since. Mm. Obviously, John Shire is going to take over in hoops. We knew all that was going down. You got a new football coach, Mike Elko. He's been on with us a couple times. He's been terrific. But we also have the business of college athletics, which may be in as crazy a transition period in the history of sports, for that matter. Name, image, and likeness, transfer portal, new NCAA. Has anything, and again, you've been part of this for a while, but has anything since you've now taken over the position changed for you in terms of, boy, I really didn't think this would be that big a deal? Or maybe something that you thought was going to be bonkers. Hey, we got this thing under control. Just kind of curious from your position after, oh, not quite a year, but where we are, big picture.
All of the above. It's all bonkers. I mean, a week after my appointment to help navigate and execute the Coach K retirement and Shire hire, and then as you mentioned, hiring Coach Elko. And so we had plenty enough going on here at Duke. And then, yeah, I mean, the college athletics landscape is rapidly changing. The transformation committee at the NCAA level is working to figure out, you know, what we as an organization look like in going into the future. I'm excited about it. We need to be a more modern, nimble organization. And so really looking forward to seeing what the transformation committee puts out there so that we can move forward into the future. But, I mean, there are plenty of issues keeping us busy, all of us around the country. It has been quite a year as a first-year AD.
All right. Now, add all that, and oh, by the way, next week you've got to put the field together for the women's event, okay? I mean, we got Kay's final deal here. We got the tournament in Greensboro. You got the landscape of college athletics. And, oh, by the way, you're only the chair of the Women's Basketball Selection Committee. So, I mean, from here, it's downhill, Nina. I feel really good. Once you get through with all this, I think we're cruising. This league, and I know you got to put the chair hat on. I just feel like I'm talking to Bubba about what he's doing on the men's committee. But yet this is potentially, at least on paper, maybe the best year women's basketball has ever had in the Atlantic Coast Conference. You look at the landscape of the women's game, you and your committee got your work cut out for you. I mean, it's not going to be easy at all.
Thanks for the reminder. we had an NCAA committee meeting yesterday, and I told everybody, I feel like this is the time of year where we're cramming for a test. We go to Indy next Tuesday. We begin the selection process on Wednesday, and then obviously go through selection Sunday this year. And so it's now I'm watching as many games as I can, you know, kind of catching up, making sure I didn't miss something from earlier in the year, but it's really exciting. I love being a part of the Division I Women's Basketball Committee and contributing to the game and the growth of the game and being a small part of these student athletes' experience in this way. But it is daunting to think about. I do want to get through Saturday here first, and then I'm going to shift my full and complete attention to selections. This year, it's going to be really exciting. I need a few extra hours in the committee room because we're expanding to 68 teams, and so selecting four more teams than normal, which is really exciting for women's basketball. And then working towards the Final Four in Minneapolis this year, a lot of enhancements to the women's championship, and so just really looking forward to seeing how that all plays out.
Nina, just working backwards, too, regarding Coach K a second. And Wes mentioned, we talked about it earlier today on the show, I thought the gift that Pitt gave Kay last night was really cool. It was creative. It connected him, and of course, Capel and Kay go way back. And I know Krzyzewski, if he was sitting right here or was on with us right now, would downplay all of this. I know he would. But, you know, to watch what Virginia did the other night in terms of just a classy tribute to what he has done for not only at Duke University, but for college hoops and for the ACC and everything else. Looking from your seat, watching all this year when Duke goes on the road, do you have a couple of memories, some thoughts about the warmth in terms of, hey, yeah, you want to beat Duke. Anytime you play Duke, you want to beat Duke if you're the opponent. But there really has seemingly been a true respect factor for what this guy has done for not only Duke, but the ACC, but for college basketball. It's really been cool to watch from afar.
Yeah, I mean, and for college basketball and really just for sport in general and around the world. Yeah, it has been fun visiting our fellow ACC institutions and watching Mike get honored so appropriately. It's just been so classy and touching. You know, you mentioned a couple of places we've been, but would also mention Syracuse, the honor that they gave Mike up there at the Carrier Dome, naming an award for him for Syracuse students. We were trying to wrap our head around, at another university, there is an award named for Mike Krzyzewski. Absolutely incredible. And so it's just been really touching to see how our colleagues around the country have been honoring him and his impact. It's hard to think of what is appropriate and what's the right thing to do, and it's just been really cool to see the different celebrations.
Not as hard as it's going to be in about 3 months. When he walks in your office and go, okay, Nina, I got this lifetime contract. What do you need me to do? And then you're going to go, okay, coach, right? Huh? I mean, having an asset or a commodity like Mike Krzyzewski available for you and Dr. Price is going to be a phenomenal. It's going to be phenomenal for the university. It's going to be phenomenal for college basketball and for the Atlantic Coast Conference in many respects, because as my dad once said, I'm only retiring from the games. I'm not retiring from caring about it, right? That's the thing that I think still compels me about Coach K.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are so lucky to have him, excited to continue on with this university and in an ambassador capacity, because he represents Duke and the very best of Duke and excellence on and off the court. And so now we get to use him off the court, and we certainly will, and just absolutely thrilled to be able to work with President Price to kind of figure out what that looks like in a few months.
Yeah, I got you. All right, couple things I've gleaned already from our visit. You ready? I got a little countdown.
Yeah,
here.
Go for it.
One, yeah. It looks like Rick is going to give you a ride to the game. I think that's working out for you.
And by the way, I'll bring treats for the pups.
Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Great. All right, that's that. And two, Nina, I didn't hear Nina say this specifically, but I feel like we're getting 10 teams in the tournament. I feel like we're getting 10. So 10, like 10 are going in from the ACC. Once they come out of that committee room, I'm thinking 10. What do you think?
Hey, you know what? On a serious note, I'm just curious, because Wes and I have debated this. The net. I have no idea how the net works.
Oh, boy.
How much do you put on that? I mean, when that gets kicked around the room, is that a personal preference, or is there like a percentage that you would put on, hey, your net rankings really mean a lot, a little? Overrated? You tell me what happens in that room with the net.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think folks, especially coaches, are kind of still trying to figure out what the net means and how to schedule around it and prepare them, their teams, put them in the best position for March. I will say net is one of 14 different criteria that we look at when selecting and seeding teams. We look at, obviously, win-loss record, conference record, availability of players, which the past 2 years has included COVID impacts. And that's been very interesting to work through. So we've got a list of 14 things, and now you've got 12 committee members in the room. And so everybody kind of places priority differently on those 14 factors, and which is great. I mean, we have a variety of perspectives, and then at the end of the day, we all vote, and the vote comes out with our 68 teams and seated. So the net leads to healthy debate in the room, and we certainly utilize that tool, but it's not the only tool that we use. And I keep trying to stress that with the coaches, that just schedule games. It's about who you play, where you play, and the result of the game.
See, it's just a tool. Jay Billis said it was a just blunt instrument. So there you go.
Well, I learned something there. I did. And I'll have the Ford F-150 over there about 11 a.m. Saturday. And me and Rick got the
no.
pups. And
hey,
if the boys want to jump in the back, they can tear the thing up. Doesn't matter to me. We're good to go.
This started
maybe
off really
well. Maybe a little tailgating in the, a little tailgating in the King driveway.
Yeah. Got it covered.
Oh, really? We can tailgate in the King driveway?
Nina, you and I are going to hit it off.
Oh, my God, Nina.
Right,
Nina, you should never have said that.
Absolutely. You are speaking my language
Oh,
now.
My God. Thank you, as always. Appreciate you getting up early. Have a great day. And we'll see you Saturday.
Good to see you guys.
Thank you. Nina King, Director of Athletics at Duke. Fantastic. Always appreciate her time.
See, I don't have to park the Ford F-150 in Krzyzewskiville. I'm just going over to Nina's house. Say, hey, Rick, let's go. Get the dogs. Get the boys. Let's go. Rolling. Don't worry about the coat and tie. Who cares?
All right.
Just network television.
Wow. Yeah, whatever.
That's how I roll. I don't need all that ESPN per diem staying in a 5-star hotel. I'm hanging, man. I got a blow-up mattress, a tent, and the back of the Ford F-150. That's how I go.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget, full day Saturday. College game day from Durham. By the way, Sports Center in Durham, too, I understand. College game day, 2-hour edition, 10 to noon. Nothing but net starts at 4:30 pregame leading up to 6 o'clock. Now, Jay Billis, Dan Shulman, Holly Rowe, that's the Sonic Blockbuster. It's on ESPN at 6 o'clock. The Coach K curtain call, or as Pack likes to call it, The kids' table.
With a K.
Yeah. Debbie Antonelli joins Pack and I from the corner in Cameron. That'll be at 6 o'clock. We'll have some guests drop by, maybe some in-game fun as well, and then Nothing But Net post-game. And I think, if form holds, they'll be right outside Cameron Indoor Stadium on Saturday night. Weather is supposed to be excellent, by the way, for all events. Looking forward to being there, and that's full coverage on Saturday on the family of networks, as we say around here.
It'll be an honor to be there. It really will be.
Yep.
It's going to be an amazing night. It'll be an ACC historical deal 100 years from now. They'll be look back and go, this guy, Krzyzewski, won a few games. This is what happened to Cameron Indoor.
Yep,
no doubt.
Nina said one thing interesting about Saturday night that leads you to believe this is going to be bigger than your average bear.
What, the tailgating part?
No, sir. Bob Weissman and his folks are having to work with people who will be attending the game that, you know, need some detail. Have some security.
Was she not talking about us?
No, I don't think so. I do not believe
so. You think we're going to need security?
No, sir.
You're talking about like more regal?
Yes.
Folks, is that kind of where you're going on that?
Yes.
I thought the most interesting thing she said up and above our parking situation was the net. I've always wondered about the net, whether it be the men's side or the women's side. You know, because how much time have we spent on the net with the ACC team, especially the men's side? Well, you know, Miami's 62, Syracuse is in the 80s, North Carolina's 40, or whatever the number is, right? And, you know, Nina's got a front row seat with how it works, the process. And it's one of 14 devices, if you will, analytics that committee comes up with. So that, to me, was interesting.
14 is a lot.
That's a big number. Now, I've done the mock process when the college football playoff.
They're not 14 there.
It's not 14. But you, as a member, if you're part of that committee, which Boo Corrigan now is going to run the show, you have access to any information you want. So maybe the number's infinite in terms of what you want to compare teams A, B, and C against. But the fact that there's 14 elements that the committee can kick around and figure out, hey, who are the 68 that should be in?
Right.
I found that to be interesting.
Yeah. She has done and by the way, the 64 to 68 on the women's side, that's an interesting process too. Right. It'll work formatically like the men do. So you'll see a team that'll fill a 10 spot going into the tournament, right, that kind of thing. And you'll also see the play in to face a top seed type deal. It's going to be really interesting to see kind of how that 68 team format as it relates to at large and automatics. Typically in the men's, it's been at larges down in that 10 line. Is that going to be the same? The women's game is different in the landscape of competitive and the way records. Remember years ago you had a Missouri Valley team that was in a top 4 or 5 situation, you know, as a team. That's a different climate in their sport. The quality of the teams and the way they're measured has always been fascinating about their bracket to me, too.
And from a bracketology standpoint, for whatever it's worth, I've seen anywhere from 8 to 10 teams from the ACC in the tournament. Of course, on the men's side, the number's been around 5, give or take. So still a lot of basketball to be played. Obviously, the women, the tournament starts today in Greensboro with 3 games, as we pointed out, and the men begin in Brooklyn next week. But big games on the men's side tonight.
Yep.
As you mentioned, if Miami wins, they are locked and loaded as one of the double bye teams, and you'll be good to go with Duke, Notre Dame, North Carolina, and potentially Miami.
All right, let's show you a sneak peek of Monday night. We're going to roll it all the way back to 2001. As part of episodes 9 and 10, two teams that were on collision courses quite often back in the early 2000s, Duke and Maryland, staged one.
And in the semifinals of the 2001 ACC tournament, Maryland would again meet the Blue Devils, looking to complete their ACC revenge.
We knew it was going to go down to the wire, because that's how we played against each other. And it was an epic, epic slugfest.
Here's a reach in by
Devon, taken
away
from Nichols. Steal.
Williams back the other.
The two teams battle down to the final seconds.
And Blake will take it! What a shot!
But with the score tied and time running out, Duke would have another chance to break Maryland's heart.
Mr. Sebastian! What an incredible game.
I just kind of felt like we had that slight edge.
In the championship, Duke faced number one seed North Carolina. But after defeating Maryland, no one was going to stand in their way.
They are blowing the Tar Heels out of the building.
They would win the game in a blowout and fittingly capture the first three-peat since Carolina had done it in the 1960s.
Winning ACC championships meant that you can put your stake in the ground for legacy, and that's what it's all about.
Two installments on ACC Network, episode 9 at 9, episode 10 at 10, coming up on ACCN, presented by New York Life. I want to go back to the semifinals. Both those games were incredible. By the way, Juan Dixon's shot almost went.
Just about. You know, that Duke-Maryland thing was real now.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, everybody talks about Duke-Carolina. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a stretch in the early part of the century where that was the showdown for me.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime Duke and Maryland got together, didn't matter where it was played, neutral site, Coalfield House, whether it was down at Cameron, it was must-watch television.
Yeah, Duke attempted 33 threes in that game because Maryland was so good with Lonnie Baxter, Terrence Morris, Juan Dixon we talked about, Byron Mouton. That was a team that would ultimately win the national championship, by the way.
Well, the intensity level of that series almost got, I'm not going to say unhealthy, but, man, when Duke would go to College Park, let me tell you something, boys and girls, it was real.
Yeah,
you know, it was like grown men only, right? Those games were so good. And Gary Williams, who was such a great coach, sweating through suits, and Kay. I mean, the matchups were just, you could feel the intensity, whether you're at the game or not. Even sitting at home, you could feel it literally come through the screen like, oh, my God, you got to watch what's going on between these two.
Yeah, in fact,
such great games.
That championship team was honored last week at
it's very cool.
Xfinity Center, I guess is what it's called now in College Park. Scott Van Pelt was there. I mean, Gary Williams, what a great team. Phenomenal. And, yeah, I still consider that the ACC, by the way. That group, that crowd right there, that's all ACC.
It was the ACC.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? It was the best rivalry in the ACC.
Yeah. And it was at a time when, remember, the Duke-Maryland thing came along as the time Carolina was making Bill Guthridge to Matt Doherty and then 3 years before Roy Williams.
Yeah.
In fact, that 0-1 is Matt Doherty.
That's exactly. It was just, again, no disrespect, Duke-North Carolina's been phenomenal, right, over the test of decades upon decades upon decades. But that slither of about a handful of years of Duke-Maryland was the best rivalry in the league.
Yep, really was. No question about that. Fun to watch this. You'll enjoy Monday night, 9 o'clock, episode 9, and then episode 10 follows. And that'll put a wraps on what has been a really, really good series to watch.
Phenomenal.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, Wednesday edition, 576th show. We are gaining on 600. By the way, the Saturday show does not count as a Packer and Durham show.
Absolutely not.
Does not count.
No.
Nope.
Absolutely not. From the kids' table?
Kids' table.
Chance.
Mm-hmm.
From where our perch is going to be, you and Debbie and I there will be able to see expansively across Cameron Indoor Stadium.
We can wave to all the celebrities.
It's not that big a building. You'll be able to get around and visit with people as you see fit.
I plan on doing that.
I know. You're going to be out in your element now. The Pac-Man. Pac-Man's on site.
I've not been to Cameron Indoor this century.
That's unbelievable, by the way. And we told you this earlier. Wright Thompson has put together a fabulous piece. It's available at ESPN.com, by the way.
By the way, how good is he?
It's unbelievable.
Huh?
It's sensational. Sensation.
Can the dude write, or can he write?
I tell you what, it'd be fun if we could get him on before Saturday, by chance, as a follow-up. I think he is as good as it gets.
I'm with you.
In American writing, and in particular, sports writing.
I'm with you. I totally agree with that.
All right, Duke rolled last night. And let me tell you a little trademark personality trait of the Blue Devils here in about the last five games. explosive at the start of games.
They're destroying people.
Yeah. I mean, we saw it at Syracuse Saturday night. We saw it last night in Pittsburgh. This is terrific. Jeff Capel, Mike Krzyzewski in a moment before the game, and then unleash the Blue Devils.
I thought, you know, Saturday, I mentioned this earlier this week, Saturday we saw the top six teams in America lose, all on the road. Duke was on the road Saturday. I thought they were the best-looking team in the country.
Yep.
Now, again, it's a snapshot of one game. I said to you yesterday on the show, what I want to see from Duke is, was that just a moment, hey, there's 30,000 people here, let's get fired up and go, because it's going to be a different environment at Pitt, and it was, even though the place was ready to go, but it's not the Dome.
No,
but you found out exactly where their focus was, and it's 16-3, and you're like, "Uh-oh, watch out! Here they go!" And Duke is just balling. They're the two teams that won and played last night in the league are playing better than anybody else. And that's Duke and Virginia Tech.
Keels 27, Bancaro 21 last night for the Blue Devils. Largest conference win this season at 30 points. Back-to-back 25-point road wins for the first time in 22 years. 19 points allowed in the first half, second fewest allowed in any half this year, 14 in the second half at Notre Dame is that standard. Pittsburgh, a three-game losing streak with one to go, and that is at Notre Dame on Saturday.
Good luck.
Yeah, because the Irish –
another team that's playing good basketball.
Yeah, well, no question about that, and something to play for, not only tonight at Tallahassee, but certainly Saturday as well. Duke, by the way, has finished third, biggest point differential in road conference games in ACC history. The 99 Duke team, which also lost to UConn for the national championship in St. Pete that year, finished at plus 169 point differential in ACC road games. The North Carolina team of 19, which didn't win a national championship but was a number one seed, finished at 144. The 22 Duke team, 142. The Virginia team that did win a national championship in 19 was plus 125.
By the way, folks, the good news is you're not going to be tested with those numbers afterwards. The bottom line is Duke's been terrific on the road.
Holy
That's
smokes.
The point. Ironically, not as dominant at home, which is, to me, is kind of surprising.
Yeah, two home losses.
I understand that. I just said they haven't been as dominant at home. Games have been tight. Not only do they have two losses, but you go back to the Wake Forest game, the Clemson game. There have been some scares at Cameron Indoor.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens Saturday. I mean, Duke destroyed North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Heels have locked and loaded. They're in the double bye regardless of what happens on Saturday night. They got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You come in there loose and free, and Duke's going to have all the pomp and circumstance going on. How do they handle it? But Duke's playing awfully well, man. They really look the part right now.
Virginia Tech snapped their 17-game losing streak to Louisville last night.
February of 1991 is the last time Virginia Tech beat Louisville in men's basketball. And last night, the Hokies took that out. 31 years of frustration. They beat them by 32.
Yep. Hammered them. And everybody got in on it. Justin Mutz, 14-10. Half dozen assists. I mean, everybody got to the rack last night. Sidney Curry, nice ball game for Louisville in a losing effort. Cards will finish the regular season hosting Virginia on Saturday. Virginia Tech is at Clemson.
The Virginia Tech Clemson game's got a chance if the Tigers could get healthy. Of course, they play tonight. You've got the game.
Yes, sir.
You're heading down to Tiger Town for a little Georgia Tech
and
Clemson tonight. Don't know the status of a couple of Clemson's two leading scores, but they won two last week without them.
Yeah.
So, who knows what happens on that front, but Virginia Tech-Clemson over the weekend would be a good game.
Yeah.
Potential.
Four games tonight. You mentioned Clemson and Georgia Tech, second meeting there. Jackets won back in early February. That was Clemson's first game without Hunter Tyson, who by the calendar, and Packers sources reporting he's practicing and has some, you know, been involved in some practice sessions.
Well, he's doing some drills and all that stuff. Now, again, that's different than saying, hey, can you go play in a game?
Right.
Can you contribute? Do you have your legs? I mean, you know, there's being in shape and then there's being in basketball shape, right? So you got to see what happens there. But, you know, when you take P.J. Hall and Tyson out of the lineup, I mean, your two leading scorers, That's a major blow. Kind of what Florida State's going through, what NC State's going through.
Yep.
We've had a couple teams really be hampered by injuries this year. That was a tough break for Brad Brunell.
All right, Miami is at Boston College. The Canes will try and bounce back from Darius Maddox's three on Saturday at Coral Gables. They finish on the road at BC and at Syracuse, does Larrañaga's team. A win tonight, and they're the fourth team with the double bye in Brooklyn next week at the tournament.
Well, on top of that, Wes, two road games to end it, 62 in the net. You just heard what Nina King said about how the women handle the net.
Right.
Got to figure the men's side probably pretty similar in terms of the tools and the variables that are tied in. Miami needs a good week. I'm just saying, whether they're a double bye team, whatever the case may be, they'll get a chance to play in Brooklyn next week regardless. But they need to have a 2-0 week in terms of the NCAA tournament.
Notre Dame's at Florida State. Irish won last year, upsetting who was then number 11, FSU, 83-73. Notre Dame has never won in Tallahassee. I
mentioned that earlier today.
Whoo! Florida State even the BPI lean tonight.
Tell you what, man, Irish have been really good on the road. Those old guys and Blake Wesley, they've been able to take it on the road and do business. This right. is another game. Again, keep in mind now, Notre Dame still has a chance to finish tied for first and share the regular season title.
Correct.
If Duke loses to North Carolina and Notre Dame goes WW, they end up with the same record. Duke would get the tiebreaker as the number one seed because they beat them heads up. But Notre Dame's still playing for stuff here.
Yeah. We're going to watch Wake Forest and NC State tonight for a couple reasons. One, Deacons, if Miami doesn't win, that's a late game, by the way. Wake Forest does win. They both play at 9 o'clock. Wake Forest still in range of the double bye.
For Wake to get the double bye, obviously they need to beat NC State, but they would also need Miami to lose two games.
Right.
The game at BC tonight and at Syracuse this week.
Sure. So, other reason we're going to watch tonight is right there. 31 in the white, Alondis Williams. Has a chance to become the first player to finish the regular season in the ACC, leading the conference in scoring and assist. And for that reason, Williams is now becoming, I think, the favorite to be the player of the year. I don't know what other convincing folks may need, but Alondis Williams and Armando Bacot, Paolo Banchero, they're, you know, other guys get mentioned from time to time, but Williams has a chance to capture both those crowns tonight with another strong and solid effort that he's posted throughout the year. And if so, he could very well be your player of the year next week.
Well, and given what I've seen from NC State, he's got a chance to go off tonight, be my take. Just telling you.
Wolfpack has struggled at the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, they've also struggled sometimes knowing what time the game starts. I mean, how many games
have we... You're going to go that route. They've 10-minute delays, is that what you're talking about?
I've watched the whole season, Wes. How many times have you turned a game? Well, of course, sometimes you're doing the game.
Yeah, I did one of them.
Yeah, Notre Dame, right? Mm-hmm. It's 19-2 or what? How many of those games have I seen with NC State
it's been
this
a lot,
year?
Including Saturday.
The good news for NC State is that you're not at home tonight, right? Where they've just been abysmal at 1-9.
Well, they've won Louisville. They've won at.
They've won three games on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So that's the good news for NC State, but they need to be ready to play.
Yep.
I mean, unfortunately, we get to the second TV timeout sometimes,